And he goes, hey, man, I'm sorry, by the way. My name's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, hey, dude, nice to meet you. I'm Josiah. So I'm like, this is my boy, RG. And it's like, you know, hey, man. I'm like, did you guys have a good time? He's like, yeah, man, you guys were really cool. And we didn't talk. It was just us rocking out together. So.
I'm sorry I wanted to fuck you up.
Yeah, totally.
Because dude. Your friend walked in on my chick when she was taking a shit.
That's probably what it was.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 196. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my boy.
Bab the Beaner's here.
What up, G? What's good, man?
Not much. Just ready to rock this bitch.
Yeah, man. First of all, what'd you do last week? Would you
do anything exciting? Did I do anything exciting? Not really. Went to breakfast with my brother, his last day in California.
Oh, he's still down, that's right.
That was cool. Then Sunday, Margo's dad's birthday. That's about it. I got some books that came in that I ordered, so that was good.
I noticed East of West Volume 2.
Oh, yeah. I got East of West, I got The Avengers, I got Fractions, Fantastic Four.
Okay, cool. That was a good run.
And Daredevil.
Dope, so, dude. Good stuff, Mark Waid?
Yeah, his first run.
Good, dude. Daredevil. I fucking love Mark Waid's work.
Good stuff.
And you got some art pieces, Black Science by Rick Remender. What?
I've had them.
Comics, dude.
Yeah, they are.
They really are. Holy
shit. First issue, yeah. They're
And The Walking Dead, Robert
Artist
Kirkman.
Proof.
Oh, fuck me,
editions.
Dude.
They're about
Mateo Scalera. I was going to say that too. I'm like, fuck, was it Mateo Scalera, the artist? But yeah,
it's fucking beautiful, dude.
Okay, good stuff. Cool, man. Right on. Okay, so you got some cool shit this weekend.
Yes, I did.
And nothing exciting?
No, not.
Okay, cool. Well, let me tell you about what I did, dude, this past week. So, recorded last week, Mondays. We record normally. So, recorded Tuesday after work, after the office. My cousin from San Antonio came out. She came out with her son, and just hanging out family time. That night was dope. Got hammered with the family, dude.
Jeez, nice.
It was good times, though. I mean, I haven't seen her in since one of the last funerals, so it had to have been 5, 6, 7 years or so. So to meet her kid, it was just dope. You know, it's always good family time, especially when you haven't seen. And then these cousins, we had cousins that haven't met each other before, so it was just cool. The younger cousins meeting up and
that's cool.
Filling in the gaps and like knowing that our aunt doesn't get along with that aunt, that uncle doesn't like. And just
and
knowing, like,
right next to you.
But knowing though, like, we don't let that shit, like, the ill feelings they have, the spite they have, that we don't carry it forward. You know, that we can get together as youngsters and, like, fuck it, all the bullshit they had, that's their fucking bullshit.
That's good.
I mean, we got to come together as fucking adults, especially if we're getting older, dude. So, no, it was dope, dude. Wednesday I had off, but Thursday. The coworkers from the second job, dude, dope, dude. Megan hit me up to go for drinks with her, Greg, and Stephanie. It was Stephanie's birthday, managers at the second job, and we went to downtown Fullerton.
Okay, cool.
Hung out with them, was out way past my fucking bedtime on a school night.
Fuck,
so it was Thursday night. By the time I got home, I still had to do a load of laundry and get my stuff together because the next night I had to go to work early on Friday at the office because I wanted to get out an hour early so I can head to LA for the Rise Against concert.
Wow. How was that?
Oh, my fucking goodness. So good, dude. Okay, so Thursday night, got home, crashed up, had to do laundry. I normally wake up about 5:30 to get to work at 8. And that's taking my time, like, okay, yawn, stretch, and, you know, getting ready for the office. No, so Thursday night, getting home, doing laundry, I was setting my alarm, so I was going to wake up at 5 as opposed to 5:30. And, you know, one of my coworkers lives down the street from me, actually down the street from you, and he was going to carpool, pick me up early, so I don't have to worry about my car, so RG and I can just, one of my coworkers, bounce out to LA, not have to drop off my car.
Okay, cool.
So thought everything out. So set my alarm for 5 o'clock this morning, and went to sleep about 3 o'clock that morning. So apparently when my alarm did not go off, I was in the app to switch it, and I never pressed on. So my normal body clock, I wake up early anyways. I wake up at 6 o'clock. Holy shit! I felt like fucking Back to the Future fucking Marty McFly. I'm late for fucking work!
Are you saying it's 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
God damn it!
Yeah, it was totally meaty.
Late for school. I love that part.
And my buddy was going to pick me up at 6 o'clock so we can get to work by 7 o'clock. I wake up on the dot at 6, hit him up right away. give me 15 fucking minutes, I will be ready. The fastest I've ever showered, everything, took care of everything, grabbed my bag, my backpack, everything, my clothes, ready to rock and roll. That day hurt, that Friday morning, the whole day. I was burnt out. I hit the wall Friday at the office by 8 o'clock. I got there about 7. Man. I had like 10 cups of coffee, and it was just a rough fucking day. And I'm like, RJ, are you still ready to do this? He's like, fuck yeah, I'm jazzed.
Yeah. He goes,
are you okay? I'm like, I'm
get some energy drinks in ya.
I'm hanging in there, dude.
Fucking rock it.
So we rocked the day, and it was a rough day for me.
Right.
You know, granted, of course it's going to be. And then I did it to myself, but it's all good. So we drove out to L.A., got out early, so Carl let me out early, which was dope. And it went out there, L.A., just an hour traffic, which isn't bad. Mm-hmm. We took off about 4 o'clock or so, 4:15. Got there early enough. It was at the Shrine Auditorium, the Shrine Hall Expo, and it's across the street from USC.
Oh, okay, yes, I know where it is.
Parked it up right away, dude, down the street from, you know, the
convention
center, yeah, dude. So it was a beautiful venue. I've never been to that venue, dude. I've been to the Palladium a bunch of times, dude, the Roxy, been to all those places, and I just fucking hate LA, dude. It's beautiful to look at from a distance, and at night it's gorgeous. The lights in the city, and the buildings, the structures look beautiful. When you go walking in LA, it's fucking ugly as fuck, dude. Like, there's just no way around it, dude. We're from OC, though, dude.
Yeah, we're spoiled.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, we really are. The weather, I mean, everything, dude, even though, you know, we're both West Coast. Anyway, so hit out there, and we had to kill some time. There was a huge fucking line waiting for people to get into the expo. So we're like, nah, fuck it. It's like, let's grab a drink. So down the next block, which is not a bad walk from the place once we parked it, we went to grab drinks. The name of the place is The Doghouse. So they have one at the main place, I believe.
Oh, the hot dog place.
Yes.
Yes.
So we walk in, and I was drinking water, you know, the whole trip, so I needed to use the restroom by that point. So as soon as we walk in, sorry, do you guys have a restroom? It's like, yeah, it's that way. So we start walking, and then I ask the cashier. There's a door that says, ask cashier for key. It's like, these motherfuckers couldn't give me a heads up.
Do they give you one with the giant fucking stick?
Yes, they gave us a spatula, a giant spatula that was tight on. It was extremely. So I asked, you know, I'm sorry, can I have the key for the restroom? They're like, yeah, no problem. Here you go. But I got to let you know, earlier today, we lost the key, or somebody stole the key for the men's restroom.
Jesus.
And it's like, but here's the key to the women's restroom. And I look at the chick, and I'm like, she goes, don't worry about it. It's cool. Like, you know, we've been doing this all day. So I'm like, fuck it. All right, RG, let's rock and roll.
He took a big shit.
Well, no, not even to trip out on this thing.
Go ahead.
I need some input from you, dude. Okay. So we walked back, and there's a long hallway corridor just to get to the restroom. Anyways, finally get to the restroom, and you see the men's restroom and the women's restroom, of course. So unlock the women's restroom.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, first of all, what to expect as I'm unlocking it, thinking in my head, is like, is it a one-man restroom or a one-person restroom? Or is it multi-stalled? Or multi stalls.
Right.
And I've never been in a women's restroom before.
It's nice.
So as soon as I walk in, yeah, well, apparently.
Fucking nice in there.
Yeah, so it was nice. And there was like 10 stalls.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, RG, we're good to go. Okay, but there were only 4 stalls. But I'm like, RG, there's more than one urinal. I was thinking urinals, I'm sorry. You know, how many urinals? I don't know why. Anyways, so I haven't been in a women's restroom before. I'm like, dude, there's plenty of fucking stalls. You know, we can multitask this, dude. Yeah, so I take the first stall, and strictly stalls, 4 stalls. I jump in the first stall, and then RG, and I start handling. I leave the door open because I'm standing up. I just need to.
You never leave the door open.
No, because, well, okay, I'm used to it even in men's restrooms, like doing that.
Fuck that shit, because some asshole will bump into you.
Nobody bumped into me.
Okay.
But anyways, it's, you're, I mean, we're used to it standing in front of a urinal.
Right,
so
right.
Why, I don't think anything of it. It's just RG and I in there. So RG takes not the second stall, he takes the third stall.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm handling by this point. I'm midstream. And then RG, all you hear is a creak. I'm in here. There was a girl in the third urinal. I fucked up the story.
In the third one?
Yeah. So apparently he walked in on a girl, but he said that she didn't.
Man.
She was handling business, but like you said, leave the door or close the door. She didn't even lock the door. She had the door open.
See, this is why you're supposed to lock that shit,
hey,
bro.
Man. Now, how the fuck did she end up in there without a key, first of all? But it was funny because I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I'm still midstream. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm so sorry. We didn't know anyone was in here. She's like, it's okay. It's okay.
Put your dick away, please. I'm trying to take a gaka here,
so
bro.
So RG handles, I handle. And I start washing my hands. And then she finally comes out. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm so sorry about it. She goes, don't worry about it. You know, it's like.
What she look like?
I didn't. I was kind of embarrassed because as soon as I heard the scream, I got scared. RG probably felt like, oh, fucking, like, oh, fuck me. Like, well,
out of all the fucking stalls.
Yeah, he had a fucking walk-in.
He picked, he didn't look at the feet?
Right?
Like, what is going on here? I would have been upset. But he said that
the door was open anyways.
Like, dude, I'm taking a big dump here.
Like, how come chick didn't lock and close the door either? So anyways, that was LAOB. After that, you know, it's cool. Ordered some beers, ordered some food. I ordered fucking a tall fucking mug of fucking some beer. And then, some dude comes up to me. He's like, hey, I thought I heard a pint. So I served this, you know, when you ordered. He's like, I don't want it to go to waste, so this is on the house.
Oh, nice.
So I got it with beer. Cool. Got into the show, the venue finally. The first band that opened up was, fuck me, with the name of their band, the opening band was Plague Vendor. Really good fucking band, dude.
Okay.
The music was dope. The guy looked like Steve-O, the lead singer.
Okay.
But he was very enthusiastic, dude. So it was really good. Second band was called The Wonder Years. The band sucked balls. More of the audience knew their songs, and it was literally couples holding on to each other, like rocking, like singing every fucking song. I'm like,
really?
Close your shit. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna grab a beer. I'm gonna go out for a smoke because fuck
this. Fuck these guys. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So Handlewood went for a smoke. Met some cool people outside. Smoke. Always find cool people fucking smoking, dude. So, yeah, I came back.
Smoking or vaping?
Smoking. Okay, so my pack of cigarettes, dude. I had a half a pack of cigarettes, and I get why they're doing shit like this now, but I didn't know. So, I take everything out of my pocket, and they're like, yeah, if it's opened already, we're going to have you guys throw it away. She goes, look at the trash can right here.
There's cigarettes?
Like, yeah, dude, packs.
I can see why.
Cigarettes. Exactly. So I get it. I'm like, oh, fuck, RG, give me your keys. So I went back to the car. Got in, dropped off my pack of smokes, got in. So anyways, we're up to now, Rise Against. They were fucking sick, dude. So fucking great live, dude. They played all their fucking songs, which was just dope. If no one knows, or if any of our listeners don't know who Rise Against is, they're just a great fucking band.
They are. I like them a lot.
They were sick live. This is my second time seeing them live. First time I saw them was at the Weenie Roast, which is a bunch of fucking killer bands, and they don't get to play a full set. And this was like 2005, 2006, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Rise Against, dude. This is one of my favorite songs from them. But just a dope fucking band and very political band. Great lyrics, great fucking music. And yeah, dude, I fucking love
it. Cool, we'll play it right now for you.
Live, dude. A great live band, the energy, and as soon as we walked in, I went from tired Josiah's with 3 hours sleep, literally, to fucking let's fucking rock and roll. We ended up in a few mosh pits, nothing crazy this time around. If you guys want to know
about my Nightwing
last concert story, go to episode 184. Nightwing in it.
No Nightwing came out.
No Nightwing, dude. Forgot I didn't fucking have to save anyone. My credit card went through. Yeah, so. Everything was dope, dude. Great fucking band. Worth watching, worth checking out. And if you guys don't know anything about the band, serious shit, go check them out. You pull up some songs. They have something that's going to appeal to everyone. Again, a more political band. And even the shit he was saying, like, wow, there's so much low-hanging fruit right now for us to just talk about and sing about and write about.
Oh, that's cool. Was it stand-up or was it like sit-down? Or...
No, it was all standing ovation. So we were in a giant mosh pit.
I would have fucking hated it.
Okay. Yeah, you would have hated it.
I would have fucking hated it.
I was jumping up, fucking rocking out and singing every fucking song. Dude, fucking lost my fucking voice. But that's me at concerts, dude. Had a blast. RG was back to my side, right next to me, behind me the whole time. And it was just dope. So for him to rock out was fucking cool. I love concerts. I love live shows anyways, the energy I fucking feed off of, dude. So it was funny. I guess the only story was to the right of me, there was a couple, a guy and a dude, and he was holding his girl the whole fucking time. And he kind of squared me up. And he was a bigger dude, bigger than me, dude. And he squares me up, and I'm like, dude, why are you squaring me up, dude? It's like, the concert hasn't even started yet, dude.
Jesus.
So I don't know what happened, dude. So anyways, 5 minutes had passed by, and then I was checking out the venue, just scoping it out, where we're at. And we had a good spot, you know, from where the stage was. And I guess I look over to my right, and the girl's in front of us. So it's myself, the dude holding his chick, and then in front of her, a girl starts bending over, and I happen to look over, and homeboy's lady was, like, trying to get behind her, like, smacking that ass.
Oh, nice.
And I happen to look over, and I start laughing out loud. I'm like, holy shit, did you just do that? And she looks at me, like, scared, and then she's like, yeah, I was. And she starts laughing, and it kind of, like, you know, lightened the mood.
Well, what about the boyfriend?
No, he lightened the mood even for him because okay. I'm like, holy Jesus. Shit, I swear, if you weren't going to do that, I was going to do it. And then he starts laughing. So it was kind of cool, dude. And we were just like all protective of each other, like, you know, fucking backing each other. I mean, if it was going to turn into a mosh pit, at least, you know, fuck, you got some cool people around you.
That's cool.
A lot cooler crowd than fucking Social D by far. As far as Social D is a rockabilly band, an old school rockabilly band. They had some skinhead fucking fans in the audience.
Oh, I bet they
don't
were.
Like skinheads, dude. This was more of a punk crowd, and it was just a cooler fucking crowd.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you didn't have to
save anyone.
Bust out the fucking billy clubs.
Put on the fucking domino mask now, dude. So even at the end of the show, it was funny, dude, because they gave and they sang every one of all their top songs. They did an acoustic set, which was fucking sick. And at the end of the show, like we were expecting another encore, and then the dude. Out of the blue, like I lost homeboy and homegirl for a while. Didn't even pay attention because I was rocking out, and he hits me up out of the blue. I turn around, and it's like, hey man, do you think they would have played an encore again? I'm like, fuck, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, if everyone would have stayed, I think they would have played longer or come out for another encore.
Everybody just bounced.
Everyone started taking off after the encore. And it depends on the band. Like, I've seen Eric Clapton. He's done, like, 6 encores.
Well, look at Metallica, bro.
Metallica does, like, 8 encores.
Fuck.
Yeah. So everyone kind of bounced out. And the lights weren't turned on yet. But everyone started leaving, scattering. So it's like, yeah, they're not going to come up. And I'm like, dude, if people would have stayed, I think they would have done another fucking set. And he goes, hey, man, I'm sorry, by the way. My name's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, hey, dude, nice to meet you. I'm Josiah. So I'm like, this is my boy, RG. And it's like, you know, hey, man. I'm like, did you guys have a good time? He's like, yeah, man, you guys were really cool. And we didn't talk. It was just us rocking out together. So.
I'm sorry I wanted to fuck you up.
Yeah, totally.
Because your friend walked in on my chick when she was taking a shit.
That's probably what it was, dude. Yeah, dude. So anyways, all right, man, you're ready to rock and roll.
I am, dude.
We spoke about 100 episodes ago. All right, man, episode 96, we entitled #cell phone abuse. Still so, true to this fucking
yes.
day. We had Twitter love shoutouts. What the fuck news? Cops eating weed candy after raiding dispensary.
Oh, I remember. Is that
That's the one that happened, yes.
Around
in,
here.
In our hometown, Santa Ana. Dude.
Damn, I love that story, bro.
We hit smartphone addiction is no joke, a scientific way to measure it. And we hit a survey and test for that, which was actually pretty cool.
It was a good. You guys go back and listen. That was really good.
Episode 96, guys. It's a really cool episode. And yeah, we were, I think we hit the point where we don't need a cell phone. You and I.
Yes. I used to have a flip phone for like...
Trying to stay off the grid.
So that was awesome. Best fucking 2 years of my life.
Being off the grid, dude.
Anyways.
Comic reviews were hit. Marvel Comics. In DC Comics, Batman number 41. Weird World number 1. Gotham Academy number 7. Saga number 29. Kane and the Last Padawan number 3. And Marvel Zombies number 1.
Cool, man.
All right, man. So I spoke about that. Facebook messages, we got Christian Govea, dope shout out, always welcome to hang out with the squad. So one of the coworkers at the second job, cool cat. Christopher Pacheco, dude, my boy, he says, greatest intro ever. He's the dude that fucking called me that we played his
ass. I want my Street Fighter, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You drugged me.
I got back to him like, dude, best Best intro by far.
It was pretty funny, dude.
Yeah, I loved it.
I'm glad we put it in the front. I'm glad you made me put it in the front.
I'm glad I made you too, dude. Next one from Facebook was Mano hit me up. He says, hey, Joe, when can I join in on your podcast? Longtime listener, big time fan. Let's do this.
With Manny?
Manny wants to know if he can get on anytime soon.
We'll see.
Yeah, we got to figure that out still, Manny. Like, for episode 200, we're going to a special spot. And speaking of, we're 196 now. I have 4 more weeks to work on episode 200, dude.
Fuck.
I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but fuck me, there's still a lot of work to go.
Cuckoo.
So we'll figure that out, Manny. But yeah, to have you on before, cool. After,
well, we'll see. Yeah,
we have a list of people we need to get on beforehand, or we can Skype you in, something like that. We'll figure something out. All right, man. That's all I got for that, man.
Cool, man.
You used to drive an Uber, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to know the 15 weirdest things that people have left behind in an Uber?
Ooh, this should be interesting.
Again, you were an Uber driver. What's the most oddest thing you found as an Uber driver that somebody left behind?
You know what? They all pretty much just bounce. Like, you stop and they fucking fly out the door.
True, but that's why you forget.
They said, later, motherfuckers. And then, nothing really. They had all their shit. They asked me stupid shit. Do you have a fucking...
A phone charger.
A charger. Do you have water? I mean, what the water? What the fuck is this, bro?
I think more people are inclined to leave a better tip, though, when...
They don't leave tips. Uber doesn't give you an option to leave a tip like Lyft does.
Oh, that's
so
what it is.
They have to actually...
They're getting fucked.
They actually have to give you cash. Yeah, okay. Well, if they want to give you a tip. And I'm like, hey,
maybe
if you've
done
you.
Lyft, dick.
I should... Well, I should... I don't know. Because people like Uber. Because it's the cool thing. And then...
True that.
Then you got the other guy. It's like, you know what? Fuck Uber. I'm going to go... Like... Fuck Apple, I'm gonna go with this product.
Yeah.
Those kind of people.
Yeah, true that. Right. Okay, here's the first one, dude. Number one is a cape. What the fuck?
Maybe crossplay, dude. I don't know.
Okay, true. And yeah, okay, I guess. Next one's gonna be an engagement ring.
Oh, I wonder if he gave that back.
Number three is Harry Potter glasses.
Dude, this is all crossplay, bro.
Kinda, right?
Wow, okay.
And San Diego Comic Con is coming up.
It is.
I'm just kinda glad we're not going.
No, we Loops, we're not going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, dude, it even holidays now for me, dude, I don't even pay attention to holidays. Birthdays.
I thought it was last week.
I thought it was next week.
And I was like, I haven't heard shit from this. D2, the Disney shit killed it. Like, they were awesome, and then fuck Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But apparently it's this week.
I thought it was how I feel, dude. But again, we work so much now, it's like, fuck, like, I don't have the time for it. Nor the energy, dude.
No.
So 1 year off is actually kind of good and needed, dude. Number four, paintings.
Paintings?
I don't fucking know, dude.
How the fuck are you going to leave a canvas fucking exactly, painting right? in the back seat of the car?
Number five, violin.
Ooh.
Number six, and if you got questions, go for it, dude. Wedding outfit.
Wedding outfit?
That would suck. What would be worse,
like
a wedding
dress?
Outfit or the engagement ring? You're dead if you lose
fucking the engagement loser.
Ring. Number seven, again, cosplay, a laser.
Oh.
I mean, it's gotta be, right?
I guess. Or just, a lightsaber would have been awesome.
Here's an odd one. A smoke machine.
Like...
A smoke machine?
Like at Halloween, you put those smoke machines? What the fuck?
Yeah, maybe you're going to a party, dude. Club it up. A cutout elf. Like, all these are like, what the fuck? A rubber mallet.
Okay.
So again, cosplay.
Cosplay,
right?
Man.
A dog sweater. Here's an interesting one. A bulletproof vest has been left in an Uber car before.
Wow. Yeah.
Were they in Santa Ana?
They're trying to rob. They forgot the gun.
This one's stupid, but an expensive slipper.
What
don't
the fuck?
Know. A kite.
These are just odd fucking stories.
That's what I'm saying, dude. And the last one's going to be a taser.
Ooh, tasers are nice.
Tasers are dope, dude.
Very nice.
All right, the next one's going to be definitely what the fuck news. Doctors remove 27 contact lenses from woman's eye.
Oh my God, did you not read the fine print? Like,
do you not put more than one in at a time?
She just never took them out.
That's
I'm pretty
exactly
sure.
Exactly what it was, right?
Oh, I can't see shit. These contacts must be fucked up. And I could just see her eye just like a normal eye, right? And then it's just layered upon layered and layered. It's like, what the
fuck? You got to think that's exactly what it is.
Dude, okay. That's dangerous, bro.
seen and wasn't exactly believing for ophthalmologist at Solihull Hill Hospital near Birmingham, England. Doctors readying a 67-year-old woman for cataract surgery in November discovered that a bluish mass in one of her eyes was actually 17 contact lenses mashed together.
On one eye?
One eye, dude.
So, like, you know what? Fuck my right eye.
And how do you forget to take it out?
You know, she probably didn't even know she was supposed to take him out.
Okay. Okay.
But there's only one eye, though.
Right. Okay. The woman unsurprisingly reported discomfort in her peeper. Really? But figured out it was because of a dry eye and... Okay, that's what she thought. She figured it was because of a dry eye and old age.
Oh, my eye hurts. Let me put three more on. It's not aspirin, bitch.
It's not aspirin, bitch. As bad as it sounds, to have 17 lenses stuck together in your eye, specialist trainee ophthalmologist Rupal Morjaria told the website that doctors eventually found an additional 10 individual contact lenses in the same eye. What the fuck?
Hey, dude? Hey, guys, come here. Everybody.
Do I have anything in my eye?
Come here, guys. Look at this.
Does it look funny to you? All of the lenses were monthly disposable contacts that the woman had forgotten about.
So she had it for like 10 months?
I never heard
of a 10-month...
monthly disposable. So, again, one eye, though. Only one eye? Like, how dumb is this fucking broad?
Well, dude, she's 67. She's old.
Okay.
Retarded. And I'm surprised she got it in her eye. I mean, we found some in her nose, in the back of her mouth.
Doctor said we were surprised that the patient didn't notice it because it would cause quite a lot of irritation while it was sitting there.
Really?
Yeah, you think? The cataract surgery was postponed after the discovery to avoid increased risk of eye infection due to the bacteria around the patient's conjunctiva.
They probably took it out and said, you know what, we did it. I could see fucking great now.
Oh, jeez, dude. Fucking people, dude. Amazingly, there was no obvious infection in the eye. The woman had been wearing monthly disposable contact lenses for some 35 years. Oh. So after 35 years, this broad still, though.
Oh, my God. Margo, we used to wear contacts. Okay. And they were like 8-hour contacts. And I swear to God, on the dot, her eyes would start fucking hurting. Mm-hmm. I need to take out my contact. Well, then take them out.
Yeah.
Here, add some more.
One physician remarked in the comment section of the British Medical Journal article that it does make one wonder about the appropriateness and completeness of the examination of the referring clinician. So another doctor is like, you dumb fuck. Like, you're the doctor and you couldn't fucking figure out, like, he didn't even tell her, hey, bitch, let me look into your eye. Like, even the first physician didn't say, I don't know.
Wow.
A survey of 4,269 contact lens wearers by the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention suggests that more than 99% reported at least one behavior that puts them at increased risk for an eye infection or inflammation.
Dude.
These bad habits include sleeping overnight or napping in contact lenses, reusing contact solution, wearing lenses longer than recommended, or swimming in lenses.
I would probably be guilty of that, reusing the liquid. I'm a lazy fucker. So I wouldn't even change. You know, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just looking at you because I'm like, this does not surprise
me. I mean, I would just, who cares? Let me dip it in this. Let me get a little saliva in there.
It's disgusting.
Put it in my eye and see what happens. No, I tried doing it once. I couldn't do it. I have an eye thing, like where...
Anything near my eye, or if I feel like something's near my eye, it just wigs me out.
Even eye drops. Like, Margo literally has to, like, put me in a headlock and pry my eye open to put two drops in without me trying to wiggle out, bite her, punch her, or anything like that. It's just fucking weird, bro.
She fucking puts a triangle choke
on me. She does, dude. Go to sleep, bitch. It hurts.
Awesome, man. All right, I got one more short article, but fuck it, man. Do you want to do a short? It's up to you, man.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
All right, Google was trying really hard to make a smart jacket that you won't totally hate.
A smart jacket?
Yep. If you're not tired of hearing the word smart in front of random appliances, furniture, and pieces of clothing, Google has a hot pitch for you. It's a smart jacket from Levi's, and it uses Google Smart Textiles platform that goes by the nickname Project Lacyard. It's being shown off this week at SXSW.
Sounds expensive.
But even if you saw the jacket being worn by a fellow festival goer, there's a really good chance you wouldn't even realize it. Without a bunch of goofy screens or flashing LEDs, Levi's Jaguar jacket doesn't give the outward appearance of being a gadget at all. And that's kind of the point, at least in Levi's eyes. At a panel at SXSW, South by Southwest, Google's Ivan Popperov suggested that the company's original vision for the smart apparel included a display of some kind. Levi's VPs of Global Innovation, Paul Dillinger, shot down the idea and insisted the tech be integrated into parts of the jacket that really existed naturally.
So what the fuck does it do? Like
the result is a fabric touch interface that can be seen, but still allows the wearer to control various functions of the synced device like a smartphone. Swiping across the sensitive area of the jacket located near the wrist lets you skip songs and answer calls. Small USB device plugs into the jacket. It's smart functionality and can be removed so that the garment can be laundered. Interesting.
I would totally get confused. Touching my chest, touching my fucking arm.
Well, you see a lot of people with smart watches nowadays.
Yes.
It's not for me, dude.
I mean,
if I can chuck my phone fucking right fucking now, I would.
It reminds me of the power glove.
Okay.
Like some kind of like you're wearing this fucking.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
This fucking suit. And you're trying to like forward the song and you fucking, you know, you blow up like.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen, dude. It's an interesting and from various hands-on reports, adequately functional implementation of touch technology. But its usefulness is obviously a big question mark. Swiping at your wrist to control your phone is essentially what you do with a smartwatch already. There you go. And given that you won't conceivably be wearing a jacket all day, it seems like a very small niche to try to exploit.
Come on, Google. We got to come up with something better.
Well, there's even one. I came across an article. I'll hit that soon, dude. But it's a smart wrist watch that actually makes your arm into a fucking screen. So you're swiping on your whole fucking
forearm.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
That one I prefer over fucking a jacket. But even then, fuck it. Do I fucking need it? No. So I can see all my message alerts go off and fucking not answer anyone.
Oh, gosh. She's texting me
this
again.
This fucking broad again. Fuck me. Fuck my life. Commercials.
Cool. Go to our website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You find some banners, and one's orange. That's the Amazon. Go ahead and click on there. Buy whatever you feel like buying, and we get a little piece of it. And then, you know what? There's other things you guys can do too. I'm gonna start putting up some links for Audible, Amazon Music. I know iTunes has this music thing, but I believe Amazon is a little bit cheaper, maybe a dollar more less a month. But you get all this for 30 days free. So if your favorite book and you have no time but you're driving, Audible is the shit. We get a little bounty on that. You get 30 days free.
We've had that for a while too. They've been one of our sponsors. It's just we don't plug it because that's the least we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good, guys. I'm gonna put up a link on our site so it goes directly, so we get credit for that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of cool shit. Yeah, definitely, dude. I know we've both been busier lately. I'll emphasize the busier.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is, dude. Okay, guys, thanks to everyone that has jumped on.
Thank you.
And to piggyback real quick on links, dude, huge shout out to the 2OC, Alan and Anton. Their podcast, they sound good, dude.
They're
more tech-based, but they're foodies. They're both foodies. D23.
They went?
One of them did, because they're the one that lives in Florida, dude. So anyways, Cool Cats, and on their website, they have a Buy Me a Beer fucking link.
Really?
I would like something like that. So for any of our listeners, would probably get us hammered.
Tell us how it works.
Anton, Alan, I'm asking you guys.
Well, I don't drink, but my buddy here.
Fuck, get me fucked
up,
guys.
Loves the beer.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening again, guys. Share the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. We're the Comic Syndicate. Just type it in. Find us anywhere you guys can find podcasts. That's
yes,
all I got. We'll be right
iTunes
back
with some comic talk.
Comic talk.
Cool.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back.
Comic Talk.
We got some great comic news, right?
Yeah, we have from D23, more Marvel attractions coming to Disney California Adventure Park.
I saw the pictures.
Look pretty dope.
I look like I'm in fucking, I don't know, Tatooine?
Oh, Tatooine? Oh, that's the Star Wars, though. But even in Downtown Disney, they're going to make it more. They're going to add on to the Guardians of the Galaxy
ride.
They're going to add more Marvel rides and attractions.
Nice.
So that would be fucking cool. Also from D23, Avengers Infinity War promo poster, homages classic comic cover.
I did not see the picture, but I saw all the cast.
Yeah.
They had everybody except for like maybe two.
Yeah. They dropped fucking Marvel's Black Panther fucking movie poster, which is fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
And even Entertainment Magazine fucking had some out. I'm looking forward to Black Panther. We love him.
I don't like his comic, but I do want to see this movie.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Avengers Infinity War director promises teaser very soon.
Oh, nice.
They've been filming that for a while now. So
I saw his big sick, his crew.
Oh, yes. They actually, they're going to add the Black Order. His Black Order to Infinity War. Which, fuck yeah. They're all beasts. Each one by themselves is going to rock the team.
I don't know what's going to happen in this movie.
Fuck no, dude. But give me more fucking... Give me more Marvel. Dude. Yeah. So that was the number one I was going to hit, dude. Star Wars The Last Jedi debuts character posters.
Yes.
So they put out posters for Luke, for General Leia, for Finn, for Rey, and they're all wearing red garments, which is, I don't know, it's normally not the Jedi way. It's normally brown.
It is. Brown or like a white, a grayish.
White-ish. And then until Empire Strikes, I'm sorry, Return of the Jedi was the first time we saw a Jedi in black. All black. So, I don't know what the fuck to think, dude.
I'm excited.
Next one, we're going to just hit up fucking comic news real quick, dude. DC pays tribute to Adam West in this week's comics.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you scroll through them, you're going to see something that pays tribute to Adam West, which is fucking dope, dude. Goosebumps scares up a comic book series at IDW.
Goosebumps?
Yeah, and Descender News came out today, dude. They were going to stop the issue or the story after, I believe, issue number 24, 25, and Jeff Lemire has more ideas. They're going to keep it ongoing.
Which one?
Descender.
Oh,
and
I
love Descender. Dustin Nguyen is the artist for that, and I just fucking love it, dude. All right, man, that's all I got, dude. That's all I'm going to talk about.
Cool. You know, I've read a really shitty book this week.
Oh, jeez. Okay,
I thought this was going to be good. I bought it for Margo.
Did she read it?
She did read it, and I asked her. What did she think? I asked her. She goes, well, you need to read it first. And I go, no. Just tell
good.
Me. I got, no, I'm not going to tell you until you read it. So I said, okay, I'll read the first. It was a trade paperback.
Okay.
I'll read the first issue, and if I like it, I'll keep reading. And it was horrible. It's called Faith. It's from Valiant Comics.
Yep. And still on Valiant kick.
Yeah, this good. Is horrible. This is horrible.
Awesome,
this,
dude.
It's about a fat, okay. Let me see how I place this. An overweight superhero female. Okay? And I bought her this. She looked at it and she goes, what are you trying to say?
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Wait.
Fucked up, dude.
I'd have all the fucking comic books. You bring me this one, this fat chick? And I'm like, just read it. Just read it.
Okay, go for
so, okay,
it.
Okay, so
please start.
Here we go.
Curse as fuck, dude.
First word of the fucking story. F my life. This book is horrible. This would have been up there with Harley Quinn, but I think Harley Quinn might have been a little bit better. And that's fucking bad. It felt like the writer had a list of plot of characters. Like we need this, this, and this. So
we gotta check everything off.
Check everything out. We got the fat nerdy chick. Check. Black rocker type, new best friend, check at work.
Oh, wow.
Gay friend, check.
Holy shit.
Hard edge boss, she's like a writer, journalist, check. Ex-boyfriend in town, seeing a hotter, skinnier chick, check. The art is okay, but the story...
Best review of the year.
The story itself is just not good. The plot is terrible.
God.
She moves to LA after breaking up with her ex...
That's dating a hotter chick now.
She's just dating ex and her team. She was on another team. I forgot the name of the team. Found a job as a writer. Still not over her ex, obviously, because she's probably pretty much going to get anything. No play.
Holy shit.
And the day in daydreams of hotter actors. And she's a nerdy chick. Total nerd.
Okay.
Her first work as a superhero she flies and she saves this building, and it's fucking full of puppies. These thieves, these hardcore guys with guns, are stealing puppies. So she saves, I swear to God, puppies.
We get. I like puppies.
Yes, but it's just like, what the fuck? We get a small plot line of some guy blowing himself up for the cause, which we don't know about, which her ex-team gave her a tip on. Like, hey, you know what? Go check this guy out.
Yeah.
So she's chatting on her smartphone, you know, and that's pretty much it. She flies everywhere. She's kind of like a Superman. She has this ugly ass red wig she wears. She's a blonde.
I'm out.
She's just like a fucking. I would see something. She looked like a blimp.
Oh fuck you, dude!
Fucking flying through the sky. I'm fat too, so it's okay for me to say.
Oh, you can say it. Yeah, okay. Actually, you can't.
I can't say it. If I was flying, people would be like.
What the fuck is that? The Goodyear is out?
God damn, that Mexican's ugly. That pig. Anyways, if pigs can fly, this is the book for you.
I was going
to
say that.
Dude, it is horrible, dude. It is so bad. I'm just reading and I'm like,
wow.
I'm going to get through the first issue because I have to be able to finish it. Yeah. Finish this book and give some kind of review.
Yeah, I mean that's what we do. We read and we don't have enough time for this. I don't have enough time.
I wasted a half an hour.
Oh, give me something good. Give me anything good.
So we got Vader, Dark Vader, the new reboot, but this fills in between 3 and 4 episode.
Yeah.
And what a treat. I swear to God this book is a badass. We pick up right after
Karen
the end.
Karen Gillan is the writer, right? I forget who the artist is because I haven't read this in a while, but I do know who it is. No, don't worry about
it.
Yeah,
I don't know that. We pick up right after the end of the third movie, like literally right at the end where he's like, no, Padme. And Vader is very angry at Palpatine. So mad he uses the Force on him, like he's out of control, and Pally soon puts him in his place. Like, you know what, bro?
He zaps him, right?
I know you're angry.
Yeah.
But you don't ever fucking do that again.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I will fucking kill you. I will do what Obi-Wan could not have done.
I'll end you right now. Yeah.
So he puts him in his place, and I wrote this.
I only read issue one. Go for it, though.
We get this, this is what Palpatine's saying to Vader.
Palpatine. Yes.
Well, Dark Sidious. I'm gonna call it
Dark Sidious. Works,
Do you know why our blades are red, Lord Vader? It has been made to bleed. Through the dark side, you must pour pain into the crystal, and when at last agony becomes more than it can stand, it becomes the color of rage.
I like that, dude.
I mean, it's Charles Soule that writes it.
Oh fuck me, it is Charles Soule. Yeah, all right, true as that.
It's really cool, and he starts talking about that. Vader needs to take a lightsaber and to become his own. So when we talk about Jedis, they're given their crystals and they make their fucking...
They make them.
Not with a Sith. He goes, no, bitch. Bitch slaps him, no. You need to go find one. You need to go kill a Jedi.
Yes.
And you take his lightsaber. So he's taught that it's not given, like I just said. Dark Sidious takes him to find one on this planet. However, his ship was stolen and Dark Sidious had set up for him to get off the planet. To go find this guy, go find a Jedi. So he needs to take care of this problem. With no lightsaber, these bandits start shooting at him. He takes some shots. He takes some shots.
Using the Force, he's able to fucking...
Pretty much.
Still rock him pretty.
Rock him pretty good.
I mean, he fucks up everyone.
Well, that's the first issue. I read issue 2 and 3. I may save that for the next...
You sure?
The next show. It's going to have to be the top of my head.
Okay, it's up to you.
Yeah, because he gets the ship, and then you know what? I'm going to write it out.
Okay, don't worry about it, because this one was perfect, dude. Like, yeah. I read it. This came out a month ago, 3 weeks ago or so. Yeah. So that you were able to catch up. Honestly, I've been playing catch up too, dude. Again, pick and choose your fucking battles, dude. We are big fans of the Bat Family.
Yes.
I love fucking Richard Grayson, Dick Grayson. I love fucking Nightwing. I also love... Tim Drake, Red Robin. Yes. I love Damian Wayne, the Robin right now. Batman's son, Bruce Wayne's son. I also love Jason Todd.
Who you like better? Oh, I already know you like
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
You like Dick better than Jason?
I love Dick way better than Jason.
Yeah.
I can't get enough Dick. So this one is going to be Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 9 through number 10. I'll go through it real quick, dude. Scott Lobdell, always have loved his fucking writing. anything he's written, dude. Dexter Soy is the artist. Okay, Dexter Soy's art. Fucking amazing.
Just, it is.
Just gorgeous, dude. We put some pictures up on fucking Snapchat, and I don't know who's hit us up yet, because fuck it right now. But gorgeous fucking art. Dark, very descriptive, very defined on everything, dude. Just love it, dude. So I caught up number 9 through 12, the current arcs, dude. And it's pretty much a team. The team put together now is Jason Todd, Red Hood, went off of Batman's, okay, like, I need you to go underground, and you're the guy to do it. We don't fucking kill, but I know you will go far enough to the underground where people will accept you because you are an assassin. You have killed before. But even Batman tells him, no killing, though. And Jason Todd's like, no, Dick. I have to do what has to be done if you're putting me on this mission. So he meets the Black Mask, and he meets he's kind of taken under his tutelage, and he meets Artemis that's locked up, and she's pretty much, look at Artemis as a protector of Amazon.
Okay.
And in working with her, looking for this bow of Ra, and that's what the whole thing is. She's looking for a weapon from her people, Amazonian people, and Jason Todd is just Jason Todd, and they, on their missions throughout, from one on, the first arc was they come across Bizarro, and Bizarro is dumbed down, but he's a dumbed down Superman. I mean, that's honestly what he is. Like, the way he talks is even dumbed down, and he doesn't know, don't know what's going on. Like, that's Bizarro.
He was a clone from Lex.
Yes, and not a fully developed clone. Yeah. So that's pretty much what it is, and it was... Red Hood's like, I'm ready to fucking kill this motherfucker. Like, a super being as strong as fucking Superman should not be around. So as the story progresses, it's Jason Todd and this crew, which they're called the Dark Trinity. So the Trinity in DC Universe is who?
It's Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman.
Yep. So it's called the Dark Trinity because you have a woman that's a protector of the Amazonians, which is Artemis. You have a member of the Bat family. That's ready to kill, and then you have a dumbed down Superman. So the Dark Trinity.
That's pretty good. I like that.
So that's what the first arc was. Now they're on this mission to find this bow, still this weapon, and Jason Todd. They all get fucked up to the point where they're all separated. Now this mission takes them to a place in a certain part of the world. I will get to it right now, and it's the country of Korak, and it's where there's a political turmoil over the use of weapons of mass destruction. But this mission is weird because this is Jason Todd's, and you see him in a cell. They finally capture him, and this is the place where Joker killed him when he was alive, as a kid, as a young Robin.
Right.
Now, this is the Robin. I love this Robin, too, because he's the one that fucking died.
Jason.
Joker beat the shit out of young Robin, tied him up, beat him up with a crowbar, and blew up the fucking joint.
Yes.
This is the one, the Robin that died and came back to life. And that's a whole other story. I'll give you guys the input on this guy eventually. But now it's him struggling with, like, he's tripping balls. Like, he sees his younger self getting beat up with a crowbar all over again. And it's a fucked up issue because you see the struggle he has to go through every day, like, I think about it every fucking day. Right. Like, I'm back. I've been back. I'm trying to do good, but fuck me. It fucks with me. So the mental bullshit he has to deal with every day, I know it isn't real. None of it is. But, you know, just everything he does is fucking dope. So it's really cool. The team is separated, and they're each doing their own fucking thing. So that's number 9, dude. Issue number 10 starts off same fucking team, dude. And Veronica Gandini is the fucking... inker on this one. The issue number 10 starts off with Artemis recalling her days with her sister in arms. So it's the protector of Amazons again. And that she had initially control of the Bow of Ra, but it ended up corrupting and seducing her, just driving her mad, dude. It jumps to then the Red Hood, Jason Todd, being in prison again, where we see a dope fucking page, dude. Him sitting alone with his thoughts and memories of his past. And it sucks because he keeps seeing these visions of Jason, please help me. Like, his younger self, Robin, telling him, telling himself, like, you know, please help me. But again, the struggle he has. So he's still tripping balls, dude. So it's real cool. Now we get to see Jason's head, and then we go into Bizarro, what he's going through. And Bizarro ends up with the people of this country that are giving ravaged by... it looks like... the leader of this country is using weapons of mass destruction. But what it is it's Artemis's best friend getting corrupt again. So by the time they realize this, it's now the team having to work together again, which is really cool to see. Like, her friend, best friend, because of the bow of Ra, this powerful weapon that only a god can wield, seduces her again. And it makes Artemis feel like, fuck, no. But now it's cool because Artemis is working with her best friend, like, dude, sweet, it's good to see you rehabilitated. But she's playing her friend. Like, this broad's playing Artemis, the good girl.
Oh, okay.
And Red Hood, once they even get on the battlefield, it's cool because there's a scene where the factions are, okay, he's like, hey, dude, your homegirl's fucked up. Like, yeah, keep it here, dude. He's like, your girlfriend's not trusted. Like, she's shady. And she's like, that's what she told me about the guy you just saved. So Red Hood's able to talk to the dictator, I guess, that is actually fighting for the people because her friends, Artemis's friends, is really shady and seduced again. So it's pretty much a bunch of gods taking over a fucking village. Is what it is. So that's why Red Hood's like, no, bitch. Like, people change when they come back from the dead. Trust me. And it's cool because you can even see the fucking panel. Dude, tell me the art's not fucking dope.
It's fucking ridiculously good.
Right?
Wow.
Okay, so that's pretty cool to see the team that's a defunct team or a... It's a family. And it's really cool because you'll see the family aspect because they start getting rocked. And it's cool because Bizarro happens to show up right when he's fucking needed. And he calls both of them, because Artemis is a redheaded broad, and Red Hood wears his red mask. He just calls them Reds. They're like, Bizarro. They're like stoked, and it's really cool to see the battles. Now you can just go through them real quick. So it's cool, Bizarro getting rocked by a goddess type of deal. But the fight scenes are fucking still good, and them working together as a unit, a team, is fucking great to see. And so this is issue number 11. I loved it. The art's just really action fucking packed. Great scenes of friends helping each other. A team that's trying to learn how to work together is fucking really dope, dude. It's really sad though, because at the end of it, like, Artemis throws one of her bows one last time, and Bizarro is the one that takes the fucking brunt of the fucking hit. And actually, no, this is what it is. Okay, so they're able to kill Artemis's friend, Akili. And it's about to make her explode. So keep on scrolling down. And once she's like overheating. And okay, it sucks because the only way they can get her out is they look at, dude, Bizarro, we need to get her the fuck out of here. So now the next page goes in and it's literally Bizarro grabbing her friend's best friend's body. And you see the panels, the pages are fucking dope. And Bizarro taking her out of space and letting her explode.
Wow.
As Bizarro holds her. So in next page is pretty much as he comes back down, like, it sucks. Because, like, the team, you see them coming together again. And then you go to the next page. And then you see Bizarro say, like, I'm not feeling so good. Like, this is fucking me. Like, something's...
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So it looks like... Well, actually, 580. Okay. That's into that one, dude. I really loved it, dude. Now, Red Hood and the Outlaws... I love, give me the Bat family, I fucking love. So next issue, last one, which came out last week, is Red Hood and the Outlaws number 12, The Life of Bizarro Part 1. Scott Liddell's the writer, Dexter Story, still the artist, I love the fucking cover too, of Veronica Gandini. Starts off with a meeting late night in a park where someone gets hired to take out Red Hood and his outlaws. A villain that was broken out of Arkham Asylum for this particular reason happens to be Solomon Grundy. Then jumps to the outlaw base where Bizarro is racked up on a hospital bed where tensions are over Bizarro being dying, literally, are really high. And it's pretty much now Red Hood and Artemis arguing all the time. Like, yeah, exactly. Now, really cool, dude. So it's real cool. Artemis wants to take him to a legit hospital or even Star Labs, but because they're war criminals, like, they're wanted, like, Red Hood, you can't go anywhere. Like, he's a terrorist, for the most part, in a good way. We get a brief rundown of what Black Mask had told Red Hood, Jason Todd, about Bizarro's shelf life and how he's eventually going to die. Like, dude, they're incomplete versions of Superman, so we can't make a perfect clone, so they're always gonna be dumbed down versions of this. So he tells Red Hood, tells her this, Artemis, and it sucks. Like, they both know, like, he's going to die. So a little time for mourning, they learn about Solomon Grundy and they go to stop him. where we see some really sick panels of the fight. So Artemis and Red Hood, it happens to be local because they're both back in Gotham, I believe, by this point. It's really cool because Dexter's story has been a fucking beast on this title, dude. I fucking love it. It's sick. It's gorgeous. So for me to pick and choose a battle like this, fuck yeah. Give me more shit like this, dude. Then we see, get the flip-flop on how well... I'm so sorry, dude. It's really cool because now it goes to a scene of Bizarro. And he's like, friends need. And then the woman looking after Bizarro, you're sick, you're dying. If you leave, you won't make it back. And he's still in this fucking gurney hospital bed in a makeshift hospital fucking room. Yes, me no. But friends are more important.
Wow.
So really fucking dope, dude. And we see Grundy just by this point handling the two, Artemis and Red Hood. So just great to see him and the team they've become. But it's bittersweet because now Bizarro does go to help, but it's bittersweet now because Jason, Red Hood, legit feels bad for Bizarro being there because he actually cares for him and his health. And he's like, dude, get the fuck out of here right now. You know what's going to happen. He's like, just stand down, get the fuck out of here. And it's cool, Bizarro says, down is opposite of helping. And he wants to help his friends, and they are going to get rocked. And they are getting their ass kicked.
Right.
So just, again, just see the family aspect, the team aspect, I always fucking love. He gets the upper hand on Solomon Grundy, and he goes to the point where both of his friends are now getting their asses kicked. And you see Bizarro make a move, and he gets Solomon Grundy down to the point where he starts wailing on him. And Red Hood has to finally tell him, like, dude, stop. And it's fucked up because during the panels, like, you see Bizarro, like, you're not going to hurt my friends. You're not going to hurt Bizarro's friends. So really cool to see. It sucks, dude. Because I guess, yeah, out of the gurney, it takes a number on fucking Bizarro. And he's down. He's out for the count by this point. Just exhausted, dude. So it sounds like me. And he's on his back. He goes, did me do good, Reds? They're like, you did great, Bizarro. Dude, we would have died without you. He's like, do favor? They're like, dude, anything. He's like, take care. So, Bizarro dying, and it's a fucked up, like, the scenes. The panels are fucking fucked up. They're beautiful, dude.
Right.
The art is gorgeous, dude. You can really
feel the emotion.
Right?
I didn't read it, but just looking at these pictures, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so it's really cool. The creator of the original Bizarros, and it looks like, I mean, it's a sad fucking issue, dude. It really is, dude.
Wow.
I'm not going to ruin the ending for the listeners if anybody wants to jump on board. It's worth fucking checking out, dude.
I'm going to have to read
this.
But
it's gorgeous. It's the writing Scott Liddell. I've been a fan of his since I was a fucking kid. So, yeah, dude, if you guys like art, fuck me, gorgeous.
Very cool,
man. That was probably Book of the Week, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowzers, all right, that's cool, that's good. I liked it, right, I'm gonna have to read it.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. All right, guys, that's all I got, dude. Anything you want to add or say or talk about or anything at all?
Really, man, I'm done. How about you?
I wanted to give some shout-outs, dude.
Go for it.
One of my friends, Erin, fucking listened to the show, hung out with her yesterday, and she's like, and we went to Danny Kaye's, so watching the game, yeah, good. And she's like, so what is it you have? Do you have a comic? I'm like, no, it's not a comic. It's a comic podcast. It's like it's a pulp culture podcast, but we talk about everything. I'm like, first half, during football season, we're all about football. We try to be unbiased. And even with news, I'm like, dude, we talk about weird articles, what's going on in the world. And we kind of work handed about the bullshit we see. We don't pull punches, and we kind of have fun with what we see in front of us.
Yes.
I mean, your review is fucking hilarious.
Man, I'm gonna get so much shit for that.
So it's dope, dude. We love doing this. We've been doing it for, fuck me, it's gonna be 3 years next month.
Fuck.
Good times. Yeah, I know, dude. I love it, dude. We don't have time to read as much. Like I said, pick and choose my battles. This is something I fucking love. Red Hood and the Outlaws. So if I gotta kill four or an arc at a time like this, and to let you know, like,
it's worth it, man. Adam,
that was fucking sick, dude. Like, pick it up, guys. Check it out. It's worth it, guys. Come on, dude. So, all right, dude. That's all I got, dude. Thanks for listening, guys. You guys can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Find us. Hit us up wherever you guys want, wherever you guys can. Share the podcast more than anything, guys. If you can, you guys can find my boy, Adam.
You can find me at Mem the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find at the CS Bell on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram. Again, share the podcast, guys. We love the fuck doing this. So, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace out.